The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's the scene is one that it certainly advances the narrative of the Gospels. What we're seeing is that all manner of opposition is building against Jesus, and it's quite, I don't know, it's substantial opposition, and yet it's not really substantiated opposition. So it's substantial in as much as, you know, it's clear that Jesus' opponents want to get rid of him. They want to kill him. And it's that's so substantial that we see here the Pharisees working with the Herodians in order to make it happen. I mean, the Herodians, just to give some sense of what's going on here, of course, these are loyalists. I mean, they're loyal to Herod Antipas, who is himself claiming to be king of the Jews, but on very shaky grounds. When we see Levi at the customs post, we're looking at one of Herod's employees. I mean, so the people who are called the people who are called sinners, the most despised people, are in Herod's camp. And here, I mean, and when I say most despised, I mean most despised by the Pharisees. They're in Herod's camp. But here, in opposition to Jesus, they're willing to join forces in order to have him executed. Right? So this is, and of course, they're going to have to bring in, you know, other members into this unlikely alliance. They're going to have to work with Rome in order to make it happen. And nobody wants anything to do with Rome, but they do if we get rid of Jesus, right? So that should say like something you know, really wicked, divisive, diabolical, and the rest is going on. Just like this stupid cough that as a product of my wickedness, I'm sure, is a punishment for me. No, it's not. It's not. It's the air is dry in here, so. That's what it is. Yes. What do we want to take out of it? I mean, okay. So that's substantial. That's substantial, right? But it's not substantiated in the sense that they're gonna condemn Jesus because he's quote unquote curing on the Sabbath. But he just tells a guy to stretch out his hand. Is that a violation of the Sabbath law? To tell a guy to stretch out his hand? No, it's absurd. I mean, and if it's a violation of the Sabbath law, there's something wrong with the Sabbath law. And it's not that there's anything wrong with, in this case, it's not that there's necessarily something wrong with the Sabbath law, but the contemporary application of the Sabbath law, or the contemporary understanding or interpretation of the Sabbath law, which is why Jesus comes back to the Pharisees and attacks them on their ground to say, "Oh, is it lawful? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" Right, so they're coming in, law, 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 law. They say, "Well, tell me about it then. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil?" Yeah, and he's got them cornered in that sense. Because then we're looking at, right, again, a less than substantiated attack on Jesus. It's just that they want to get rid of him. But then we have to ask why they want to get rid of him. And what I say is that it's because it's clear he's setting the agenda. Now, his agenda is a reform agenda. It's to make Israel Israel at last, and Israel is made to be the light to the world. But Israel, the Israel of Jesus' time, wants to promote rather a view that Israelites are children of light, and you know what? Let's leave the rest of the world in darkness. But it's not God's plan. And I don't know if you have this experience. I have this experience, is that when I want to advance my plans and recruit God to help me with mine, I'm likely to be frustrated hopefully, right? Because really what I want to be doing is what God wants me to be doing, and I want to be giving myself over to Him. I want to be docile to Him and the rest. But like, if I set my own course and then try to bring God into that, we have issues. We have big, big issues. And that's a lot of what's going on in Jesus' day. God is being recruited for the agenda of this party and that group and whatever. And it's turned the vocation of Israel inside out, so that instead of being us for them, it's become us against them. And we have to then beat them back. We have to then treat them the way they treat us. We have to whatever. We have to really beat them at their own game, which is why they're always, you know, kind of pushing for violent rebellion against what they saw as the forces that enslaved them or oppressed them. Jesus then is turning that inside out. And what we have to see then is that we are called by Jesus to live for God's purposes. If here he's restoring the agenda of Israel to be like to the nations, and he in fact is the true Israel who is a light to the nations, and then he has recruited us into his true Israel or new Israel agenda. So we have to be a light to the nations. And I'm going to leave it at that. Not, you know, mainly because we started out slow with the old cough and everything. No, it's like, we have to leave it at that to say this. You are made to be a light to the nations. You are made to be a light to the nations. You personally. That's the story of your life. Okay? Throw out all the other competing narratives like we have in the world about what it means to be successful, about what the meaning and purpose of your life is. It's garbage, okay? Maybe it's not garbage, but it's at least secondary. The primary frame of reference for your life is that you are called to be a light to the nations. You have been called to embody God's blessing in and for the world. And you've been called personally, and we've been called together for that task. Okay, if what we do together doesn't conduce to that end, we're wasting a lot of our time and energy. We're missing the mark. You want to talk about sin? That's where I'm going to go, right? We talk about hamartia in the Greek, missing the mark. We've been missing the mark if we're not trying to live both individually and corporately as a people set aside for God's purposes, people who have been summoned into God's service to give everything they have and everything they are to advance His work in the world. If we're missing the mark on that, we're going to be missing the mark everywhere else as well. So you have to commit to that. This is, again, it's the Jesus agenda. It's the true Israel agenda. It's the new Israel agenda. And it might sound difficult, but you've already responded yes. So you're you're out of luck. There's no pulling back now. You've already said yes, right? By virtue of your baptism, you've already come through the waters, right? You've already said yes. We've already said yes. But we want to make our yes clearer and louder and more profound and all the rest today. We want to give ourselves over to God because we realize that not only it's about our meaning and purpose, but this is what the life of God does in us and through us. Right? His life at work in us and through us makes us to be a light to the nations. And that's our commitment together. What does it mean in practical terms? We're figuring that out as we go, right? I mean, and it's I think a bit easier to know, like personally, what it means to be a light to the nations. I have to incarnate the love of God. How do we do that as a people? We have to figure that out. But we can figure it out once we've made the commitment. And here and now, at the altar, this is exactly what we're doing. We're turning our lives over to God, whole and entire, to go His way in all things and at all times. And with His Spirit at work in us and working through us. Yeah, we're going to figure that out. And not just figure it out. We're going to be empowered to take on that most lofty task.